We rise for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant to you his peace. Service. Don't forget coffee hour immediately following in the town square. We'd love to have you come out. Also, don't forget senior high youth have food for thought every Wednesday, 5 to 8. And that comes with a dinner and a Bible study. And our middle schoolers have jams every Tuesday during the summer, 5:30 to 7:30. A day at the Hollis's Cottage is July 20th, and you do need to sign up for that. We'd love to have you attend. Also, next Sunday, we're going to take a question from the pew. Somebody asked about soul sleep. Some people teach soul sleep that when you die, you don't go to heaven, you actually sleep, and then when Christ returns, you wake up. It's soul sleep. So we're going to talk about that. You can read the little note we put in the announcements. There is a Bible passage to help you think about that. But we'll talk about that next week. Where did that come from? Is it true? What should we expect when we breathe our last? And also, great news. As you know, Joel Brockberg left our senior youth ministry. He was part-time along with Laura on junior youth. And so it left an opening. And Laura has accepted to join our staff full-time, Laura McDonald. So it's great news. She's going to continue with junior youth, also take on some family life responsibilities. And Ashley Leeds, she has experience in youth ministry at her previous church, is going to take on senior youth, continue with confirmation, and do some family life activities. So we'll spell that out over the next couple of weeks. We're sort of meshing the two responsibilities together, like we did with youth group, having two people tag team it. So we're excited about what's going to come about as a result of that. And so welcome, Laura, and we give thanks that Ashley could be so flexible and change everything around like this. With that, we'd rise for opening In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And I will confess my sins unto you.
God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of thy holy innocence,
upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I assure you, your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated.
We invite the children forward for the children's message. You might have to help me get up. I'm getting kind of old. I have a question. Pastors always have questions. Have you ever helped your parents plant seeds in the ground? Like maybe for a garden or flowers? You ever done that? No? Ever? You have. Okay. Well, what do you have to do in order for those seeds to grow? Well, you have to put them in the ground, you have to water them. What else? What else?
Put them in a sunny place.
Maybe put them in a place where there's some sunshine. If you do all those things, what do you hope happens? They grow, and maybe they're flowers, or maybe they're vegetables in a garden. Jesus told a story once about a guy who was planting seeds. You see the seeds dropping down as he tosses them? And these seeds would land in lots of different kinds of dirt. Some of it was real, real hard clay. Some of it was nice and soft. And so some of the plant seed grew, and some of the plant seed didn't grow. And Jesus told this parable, this little story, to help people understand that the Word of God, the Bible, is like seed. And whenever we read it or we hear it, it's like seed growing inside of us, and that seed is called faith. And so as the faith grows in us, our faith gets stronger, and then we are able to go out and tell others about Jesus and plant seeds doing that too, telling others about the love of God for each and every one of us and how Jesus suffered and died for us, but how he also rose again for us too. So next time you plant seeds, maybe you can help mom and dad plant some grass seed. I planted some grass seed last week. I'm going to see if it grows. But if it does, I'd be very happy, because otherwise it would be just nothing but bare soil. But I want that seed to grow, so I put it in good soil, and hopefully it's going to grow. And that's how it is with faith. When you guys were baptized, the Lord gave you the gift of faith. He planted the seed of faith in you. And as you get older and you learn more and more about Jesus, that faith grows stronger, and that's like the seed growing inside of you. So thanks for coming today, and let me give you one of these pictures as you go back to your seats. There you go. Have a great day. There you go.
The Old Testament reading for today is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 10 through 13. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. Here ends the Old Testament reading. The epistle reading for today is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if, by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Here ends the epistle reading.
For the gospel. The Holy Gospel is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, selected verses. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Here ends the gospel lesson. I believe.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation and reflection this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 55. It is our Old Testament reading today. I bring you blessings and peace from God our Heavenly Father. Peace. Peace that comes to you and me in abundance, probably much more so than we will ever know, because that peace originates with God Himself. And God pours out that peace upon you and me, as Luther would say, without any merit in us, without any worthiness in us. He does it purely as an act of His grace, purely as an act of His mercy. And at the foundation of the peace that God pours out upon you and me is His Word, His holy, precious Word. That Word always accomplishes a purpose that God has in view for you and me in our lives. And the Spirit brings that Word to bear upon your life, because you are a dearly loved child of the Lord God. Through the prophet Isaiah, the Spirit of God, and the verses prior to the text that you heard read just a moment ago, unfolds for you and me as God's people the Lord's incomprehensible majesty and His glory, the glory of God the Heavenly Father. And in that glory and in that majesty, the Lord says this: My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And so we've established the foundation of our relationship with the Lord God. He and He alone is God. You are not. You and I, by experience, know the power of words. Experience teaches you and me that words can encourage, words can inform, but words can also hurt, and yet they can heal as well. Sadly, used at their worst, they can destroy. Harsh words stir up anger. The words of a fool pour out folly, writes ancient King Solomon in one of his Proverbs. Think for a moment with me, if you would, about the words of the Word made flesh who came and dwelt among us, the words of Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus' words carried a power far greater than any words that you or I could conjure in our own minds. By the simple power of Jesus' spoken word, the entire universe came into existence. Simple water was changed into wine. Blind eyes were given to see. Lame legs were given to walk again. A dead man was brought back to life. Demons were cast out of people. A man with leprosy was healed. A powerful, powerful storm was calmed. And insightful parables that taught people about the nature of the kingdom of God were spoken by our Lord. And even a deaf mute was given to speak. But most importantly, the power of Jesus' spoken word was demonstrating in His declaring the forgiveness of sins. This is the greatest purpose for which our Lord's word is revealed to you and to me today. For His word has the power to create and sustain saving faith faith that will ensure that one day your soul lives in the eternity of heaven. A saving faith that brings you and me God's gracious word of forgiveness. Isaiah reminds us in today's text, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall be my word that goes out from my mouth." The Lord reassures us that his word will never return to him empty, but it will always accomplish that which he purposes for you and me in our lives, and it will succeed because it is a work of our Heavenly Father. Did you hear God's gracious promise? His word will never return to him empty, powerless, void of any positive effect on your life. It will always effect and fulfill his intended purpose for you. And most often, you and I are not given to know his intended purposes for us. Perhaps it's only in looking back on our lives and thinking about all that has happened to us that we can see the purpose and the hand of God at work for each and every one of us. God's purpose will always effect and fulfill what he has in mind for you and for me. And what is the word's intended purpose? Well, today's gospel reading indicates in the parable of the sower and the seed that God's word creates and sustains trusting faith in the soil of our sinful hearts. As one pastor observed, even in the rocky and shallow soil of our sin-damaged lives, the word of the Lord still creates faith. That's an amazing thing to realize. That no matter how messed up your life may be at some points in time, the Lord still sustains saving faith within you as his child. Perhaps the question that we might ask ourselves today is simply this: what place does God's word hold in my own personal life? Do I really believe the Holy Spirit-inspired prophet Isaiah, who was given to write that God's word truly and completely will accomplish his purpose in my own life? The prophet John teaches us to know that Jesus himself is the word. The word made flesh, who is God. The word made flesh who came to dwell among people. The word through whom all things were made. And the word in whom there is life. The word whose light of love and forgiveness shines brightly in the darkness of sin. The incarnate word, Jesus, who has come to bring forgiveness of sins. He gave himself up as a living sacrifice in order to accomplish that for you and for me. He was, as it might be said, a fragrant offering, an offering that was designed to atone for your sins and to help you become right with God through the power of the working of God's Holy Spirit. But it came at a high price. It came at the price of our Lord Jesus' blood. You know, no matter how often in our spiritual weakness we might doubt or ignore or maybe even for a time turn away from our Lord's word and its power in our lives, the word of God is still living and still active, because he has given you the gift of his Holy Spirit. What an amazing amount of grace and love our Lord shows us. In Christ, God even forgives our own neglect of his word. So often we as God's people take his word for granted. We forget about it. We set it aside. We don't take time to read it or learn from it. And yet, through the Holy Spirit, he renews a right spirit within us. A spirit that repents. A spirit that rejoices in the joy of our salvation through God's Son, Jesus Christ. A spirit that is once again given to turn its heart in faith to the power of our Lord's word. Yes, you can be absolutely confident today that the word of Christ does bring about what the Lord intends it should in your own personal life. And most importantly, the forgiveness of your sins and the sure and certain hope of eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. The Lord's word, by the work of the Spirit, does bear fruit. It bears fruit in your life. It's fruit that is demonstrated in your interactions with other people, in your own private devotional life. And it's fruit about which Paul writes: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and that oh so difficult one, self-control. You can rejoice today that in Jesus, our Savior and Lord, a new and forgiven spirit has been restored in you by his blood shed on the cross of Calvary. Blood which once again you will take into yourself through the sacrament of our Lord's body and blood in Holy Communion. Today, you can go as redeemed and forgiven children. You're cleansed in the blood of Christ. Your purpose in living and bearing out his word as it speaks to you is all wrapped up in that special book we call the Holy Scriptures. Read it, mark it, and what do we say? Inwardly digest it, because it is the place where the Lord works his word through the Holy Spirit in your life. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.
Thank you.
Father, your word goes forth from your mouth and does not return to you empty. Provide the continued proclamation of your word, that those who do not yet know you may come to join us in the confession of your holy name, so that together we may go out in joy and be led forth in peace. In your mercy, look with favor upon those who suffer from illness of body or mind. Comfort them with your presence. Give them patience in their suffering and healing, if it be your will. We pray this especially for those who have requested our petitions on their behalf. Stephanie and Max, as they mourn the passing of their 10-week-year-old son, comfort them, O Lord, in their grief. And the family and friends of Dolores Berth Taylor, we pray comfort and support them also in this difficult hour. Be with those facing or recovering from health concerns, William Bullock, Lois Becker, Scott Parasaw, Eleanor Ortiz, Carl, Marge and Don Nettle, Christine Hall, Robert Waldron, Dee Giebert, Dolores Allen, Lenore Stevens, Bob Ernawine, Roger, Lois Anderson, Pedro's father, Jane Talinda, Helen, Melanie Swanson, Eric Roth, Danielle, Dan Monger, Betty Poninger, Don Miller, Gay Lathrop, Amy and Sue. And, O Lord, the flowers on the altar are given in celebration of the wedding of James and Alyssa Kanka that took place yesterday in the sanctuary. We'd ask your blessing be upon them. We also look forward to the baptism and the 10:30 service of young Charles William Claus. We give thanks for the second birth of the water. And we give thanks for the opportunity to do good in your name and for those ministries we can sponsor, like the Family of God Soup Kitchen. And we thank the Minalton families, Mary Lou Mabee and Glenn Schutz family, for being a blessing to those in need. And we ask, O Lord, that you would move all of us to be a blessing to those around us. We ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, on the same night which he betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same matter also, after supper, he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.